Welcome to episode 406 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. This week, we continue with our new series, 100 Days in the New Testament. The New Testament focuses on Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of the prophecies from the Old Testament. It has records of the Savior's life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the continuation of his work after he returns to his Father. As we read and understand the Bible, we find hope, security, and strength in God's word and promises. This is why we are doing this study.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Jesus' sermon in Luke 6 is sometimes called the Sermon on the Plain. The content of this sermon, which is alternatively called the Sermon on the Plateau, is very much like that of the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthew 5-7. In fact, some students of the Bible consider Matthew's and Luke's accounts to be different records of the same event. But there are differences, and they seem to be enough to consider the Sermon on the Plain and the Sermon on the Mount to be delivered at different times to different audiences. Just before Jesus delivers his sermon, he has two disputes with religious leaders. In the first, the religious leaders complain to Jesus because they see his disciples pick some heads of grain on the Sabbath. They seem to say, "Jesus, what in the world are you teaching your followers?" In the second, they go after Jesus himself because he heals someone on the Sabbath. Jesus delivers his Sermon on the Plain against this background. He knows the religious authorities find him offensive. He wants to impart to his disciples how they are supposed to be different from typical religious people. Jesus seems to be saying to these religious leaders, "I wish you cared as much about human beings as you do about being right." Jesus lays out principles for how we should live in a right relationship with God and with our neighbors. This is not a repudiation of the law, but Jesus, through this sermon, as he did with the Sermon on the Mount, shows us how the law provides us with guidelines for abundant living so that we can not only live, but thrive. Jesus delivers the Sermon on the Mount after going up a mountain and sitting down. He delivers the Sermon on the Plain after coming down from a mountain and standing on a level place. Luke's record of the Sermon on the Plain does not contain the extended teaching of Jesus on the law, and it includes various woes in addition to the Beatitudes. Also, it seems that the audience in Matthew comes from different places than the audience in Luke, when we compare Matthew 4 verse 25 with Luke 6 verse 17. It's possible that Luke's Sermon on the Plain is simply a condensed version of Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, but it seems more likely that Jesus preached a similar sermon on two different occasions, making a few changes to better fit the audience at hand. This is an important sermon, not just because it lays out foundational principles of Christianity, but also because it is given right after Jesus chooses those who will be his closest followers, those to whom he will entrust his ministry after he is gone. This is so important an undertaking that he secludes himself beforehand, going off by himself to a remote location and praying all night. This should be an example to us of how we ought to seek God's guidance before we make important decisions. The Sermon on the Plain begins with some Beatitudes in Luke 6 verses 20 to 23. Jesus pronounces a blessing on the poor. "Yours is the kingdom of God. On the deprived, you will be satisfied. On the sorrowful, you will laugh. And on the persecuted, great is your reward in heaven." Immediately following the blessings, Jesus pronounces a series of woes in verses 24 to 26, speaking of the tragedy of being rich. "You have already received your comfort. Of being satisfied, you will go hungry. Of being carefree, you will mourn and weep. And of being popular, popularity is no gauge of truth. In this section of the sermon, Jesus reverses the world's way of looking at things. Heaven's value system is far different from Earth's value system. Don't get caught up in the world's way of ranking things. It's too prone to error. Next, in the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus gives seven startling commands in Luke 6, verses 27 to 31. Love your enemies, he says. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who use you spitefully. Turn the other cheek to the one who strikes you. Give generously to everyone who asks you. Finally, Jesus lays down the golden rule. Do to others as you'd have them do to you. As Jesus continues the Sermon on the Plain, he points to four laws that affect our everyday lives. The law of reciprocity, the law of leadership, the law of perspective, and the law of the harvest. In teaching about reciprocity, Jesus says that if you dish out judgment, you can expect to get judgment in return. If you give condemnation, you will get condemnation. But if you extend forgiveness, you will be forgiven. In speaking of leadership, Jesus teaches that it matters whom you follow, because you will go wherever your leader goes, and you will become like him or her. It also matters how you lead. If you are blind, and you're leading those who are blind, everyone will end up in the ditch. Turning to the matter of perspective, Jesus says that we are often blind to our own faults, and we must beware of hypocrisy when trying to help others. Rather than identifying and criticizing the small shortcomings in the lives of others, we must learn to recognize our own personal faults. Jesus then uses the principle of the harvest to teach the importance of personal holiness before God. The fruit matches the tree. A good heart will bring forth good deeds and good words. Jesus closes the Sermon on the Plain with an admonition to follow through on our commitment, on that ultimate spiritual commitment. It's not enough to call Jesus Lord, we must actually do what he tells us. Those who obey the Lord will be unshakable, like a house built on a solid rock. Those who disobey or ignore the Lord's commands will be like a house with no foundation. They will experience a tragic collapse. Throughout the Sermon on the Plain, Jesus points to eternity and commands us to be far-sighted, to live in light of heaven. And he points to himself as the standard of righteousness and the very foundation of our lives. Historically, the Sermon on the Plain has received far less attention by commentators and theologians than the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. Luke's reporting of this sermon, however, brings powerful insights that Matthew's does not, and is just as striking a presentation of Jesus' teachings to his disciples. It is inspired by the same Holy Spirit and deserves to be read just as carefully and frequently. It has tremendous value in its own right, and in conjunction with the material in Matthew, it helps the Christian reader draw out a deeper and fuller understanding of Jesus' words, which is certainly why the Spirit of God inspired the writing of both these parallel passages. Father, thank you for the deeper insight into how we ought to live as Christians, as revealed in the Sermon on the Plain. May these words guide how we live. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.